All right, open line starts with Jeff in Sonora, who had called just toward the tail end of the hour, but by that point we only had just a few seconds left with our guest, Jeff. So sorry about that. I hope you were enjoying that whole story about Knut Rockne.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm trying to eat. Actually,
well, don't let us interrupt you. Why don't you go and enjoy that?
Honestly, okay. This is very important because
okay.
I'm telling you right now, I've been listening. You guys have been talking about the Carrington event. And I was, already did my research. I'm one of the foremost researchers and probably in the world. And I'm here to tell everybody in the world that the sun right now, because of the solar minimum, what it's doing actually is it's charging up to get ready for the big one. Now, wow. Estimates say it would take 15 to 20 years to repair our grid just to be fireproof moderately. It's not enough. It's not going to work. What needs to happen is people need to fund me. I'm not a greedy person. I'm willing to give my inventions to the whole world like Tesla did, but I need the funding.
No.
And I'm telling you, we only have five years maximum.
Pause. You can't use this. You can't use open lines to try and make money. Sorry about that, dude. I wish I could help you. I don't want to interrupt your meal on top of that. But I'm not going to let you do that. If you're doing it, somebody else is going to do it. And no, we just can't do that. I mean, if you're online and, you know, you get people to do it, that's cool. But no, I just don't want to get involved in having people send you money. I hope you understand. Wildcard line, Annie is in Alabama on Coast to Coast AM. Annie?
Thank you, Ian, for taking my call. Get all kinds of calls from people claiming to work for Microsoft. They have every kind of story. They call and they say, Windows Defender has expired, which does
right.
not happen. That's
right.
not something that happens. And there's no renewal fee for Windows Defender. And they come up with every other story about your computer.
Sure.
And they want you to download a program to
yep.
give them remote access. Anybody that says they work for Microsoft and they call you is a scam. Don't
of
even
course.
Give them
of
a
course.
Day.
It shouldn't even have entered. But now here's the question is, can you ever do it and just have fun with those people and drag out the phone call so long that they can't hurt somebody else?
I do.
Good.
I tell them my computer's an Edsel. I say it's an old Univac. It takes up
Funny.
The entire garage.
I love that. That's
I
great.
I give them a long story about everything, and then I drop that on them.
How long does it take them before they're hanging up on you?
They hang up as soon as I say it's an old Univac and it takes up an entire building, but I lead them, I keep on stringing
right.
them along as long
right.
as I can. I say, sure, yeah.
Right.
I even made out like I was on my computer. I made out like I was downloading a program. I made out like I was in the run box and all this stuff.
Oh, that's
and I
great.
I didn't even have a computer in the room.
Yeah, I've done this myself when they happened to call and I was like, wait, I was in between something and I thought, I've got 10 minutes to kill. And I thought the more I keep them tied up, the fewer seniors they're going to defraud out of $100 or whatever it was that they're going for. So very good. I like that, Annie. I'm on your team on that one. We'll go east of the Rockies. Blake is doing a little trucking on Coast to Coast AM. Blake?
Hey, good evening, Brother Ian. It's a spectacular night. I love the cornucopia of conversation that you have. And I hate to drop a bombshell on you here, but I was just talking to one of your producers. And it's about time I call in because I had a question. Because we're talking about explosion in planes, and I'm sitting in an airport right now as we speak. I'm a truck driver. I'm just a little north of Sacramento right now.
Okay.
And I'm taking a 10-hour break. But I had a conversation about... I guess I'll get to the bomb show here.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about explosions. You remember years ago we used to have NBC Night at the Movies? It was on a Monday night. You remember that?
Yeah, they had that in various forms for years, right?
Yeah, yep. there was a movie called Deadliest Business, and it was about how we used to get rid of nuclear waste.
Hmm.
All right. I'm an in-law, a step-in-law, marriage only. That really never lasted. But I knew somebody who was in the mob that had ties with Jimmy Hoffa and how we used to get rid of nuclear waste by just dropping off the docks and piers. And that was
sure.
back, what, 35, 40, almost 45 years ago. But But my question tonight with you, and by the way, I really, man, you are a spectacular guest that sits in for Brother George Norrie. I listen to Coast to Coast every night on the road because I drive at nights. And I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. But one of the questions I had, because we're talking about explosives and whatnot, sure. You understand what tiling is, correct?
Tiling? You mean in a nuclear context? Or
Exactly. Tiling.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question for you.
Sure.
When the World Trade Center exploded, why was it never mentioned at all that there was a print shop, and I'm not going to mention the name of the printers, that did gravure printing? That's where you actually engrave diamond plate and silver plated cylinders to produce offset and offset printing. Why was it never, because we have a lot of talk about how first responders are dying of cancer, and we've had Bill Mayer go out there, for example, and try to work with the first responders. I'm not going to mention the name once again, but why was it never mentioned that in the basement of that building was a super tanker full of tiling, which is cancerous,
Yeah.
And just a few years later, we had a senator, actually became a senator. I'm not going to mention any Republican or Democrat affiliation, whatnot.
Okay.
But that causes cancer. I can remember when I worked at that plant, we had to put masks on. It was more dangerous than pathogen to work with this chemical tiling.
How do you happen to know that there was one there in the? I've never heard anybody discuss it. Okay, you worked.
I worked there.
So, then I mean, that's really interesting. Don't know. I mean, I'm assuming it was at least to some degree. It was all whatever were in those. You know, whatever was in those tanks leaked into the ground, right?
Well, actually, yeah. When the tower started, jet fuel dripped down amongst the beams and reached down to those tiling tanks. I believe personally that was when the explosions happened, which would... Now, if you go back 10 years, Ian, Brother Ian, you remember when there was a terrorist attack and it was just limited to the basement?
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the original attack on the World Trade Center, which was in a Ryder truck that was in the basement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it ruined the basement. It actually caved in two of the floors down the bottom level.
Right.
I'm thinking, personally, because I work there and I work for this company, and I'm trying to be as anonymous as I can. Now, I've only talked to a really good, dear personal friend that I have, where the trucking company that I work with, and I mentioned it to him, but nobody said, and he was totally unaware of what had transpired at this point. Yeah. But tiling is super explode. That's the TNT.
Right. Right. Well, I'm intrigued. I wish I had an answer on why nobody has done anything about it. I have to say, I hadn't heard anything about it. But that, you know, just I'm also self-aware enough to know that. Just because I don't hear about something doesn't mean it hasn't been said. So I'd have to go looking around a little bit when I have time and see if I can see whether anybody has researched that and whether this was discussed as being one of the potential carcinogens that caused carcinogens.
This is a bombshell. Brother Ian, this is a bombshell.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
I'm sharing with you tonight. I mean, yeah. It's been so many years that I kept this inside.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I get it. I'll poke around. I'll see what I can find, and maybe I can get an answer coming up in the weeks ahead.
Remember the one guy that we had out of Alabama? The guy was standing on the corner. He had a sign in his hand that said, "We'll talk for food."
Mm-hmm.
And he was almost instantaneously on Twitter and Facebook, found famous overnight. And then I believe it was Minnesota Vikings offered him a job speaking as a sports announcer or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
This was years ago. He was found. He had a spectacular voice. You know, I'm ready to retire from trucking. You know, it's been 17 years, Brother Ian. And
I'm not sure I'm making the connection on that last part. So am I missing a subtext, and then with regard to the World Trade Center on that, or are you saying?
Oh no! I'm just that conversation's over.
Okay.
If you ever, you know, I'm a long time listener, first time caller. If you ever need somebody to do voice announcement,
I appreciate that. I'm the guy in the paper hat making French fries. I have zero authority around here, so I hope the important people are listening. And who knows, that could happen. But good luck with that. And you certainly do have a fine voice. Certainly better than mine tonight, which is a little hoarse, and I'm fighting that off. Let me go to Wildcard Line. Mary is in New Jersey on Coast to Coast AM. Mary.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Oh, good, thank you.
This is about Elijah and Enoch. The Old Testament, when somebody died, they went into the bosom of Abraham. In the New Testament, when somebody dies, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But John says nobody ascends up into heaven unless it's the one coming down, meaning Christ. So we have to wait for the crucifixion. So these people were taken. They're alive, Enoch and Elijah. And Elisha says he was taken up in chariots of fire. Is that where they lived? Since they can't go to heaven before the crucifixion.
Well, I think it's important to, if you want my opinion on that, is to always be careful about taking something like that too literally. Because when we go back and we look at the original languages, especially like something like Hebrew, the verbs and the nouns that we take for granted in an English translation as being very specific often have a much more dimensional understanding. And we have to, as translators, we have to choose one meaning of that word. But in the original Hebrew, for example, when we talk about somebody ascending, and or even in the word heavens, it gets a little complicated. And so it's an interesting proposal. Don't know. But the argument is often made that they wouldn't have been alive because they wouldn't have needed the body anymore. So there are places that are traditionally linked to the body of somebody who had ascended, but they had left the body behind, but it had the form as they headed skyward. I would just look for that in the original Hebrew. Do the word searches in Hebrew and find out whether that helps understand that. Certainly the Greek for the New Testament. First time caller line, David is in Southern California on Coast to Coast AM. David?
Yeah, this is David. I want to talk about Jimmy Hoffa. The last I heard, working with some carnies out of Las Vegas, and they said that Jimmy Hoffa wound up a chrome bumper.
Yeah.
In the acid pits, you know?
Yeah, there's been various, certainly many, you know, different versions of the story of what happened. That often happens in an absence of...
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, it happens in an absence of empirical knowledge that other versions crop up. What do you think of this? Have you been hearing about the new Scorsese movie coming up?
I've been listening to it at all that much, you know? Sorry.
Well, because in about 2 weeks, there's a new Martin Scorsese movie called The Irishman. And it's the story of a guy who the FBI even investigated at the time, who was nicknamed The Irishman, who was involved in an Italian mob, who made the claim until his death that he was the one that killed Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, okay. No, this is about 20 years ago. I heard it out of Las Vegas, working with some carnies when I was up there for a job. And one guy just spoke up about that and said, oh, yeah, he's part of a chrome bumper.
Right.
Last you heard, you know?
Well, Yeah, that's kind of the common version, that he was in a car that was then compressed into a cube, that they took that whole, I guess it was a Lincoln, and they took it, you know, after killing him, they took it immediately to a junkyard and had it, you know, destroyed, flattened, and cubed. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He wound up in an acid pit, you know?
Yeah, but that's another story, too. And for that matter, since a previous caller mentioned it, a nuclear pit, too, I had heard that at one point when one of the mob companies in that area had been working with toxic waste of a radiation type level, that's what he went upside down in a barrel,
yes,
sealed.
Yep, traveling around there at all, I know.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, always good. I'm looking forward to The Irishman. I think it's an interesting story. So I'll report back to you when it's out. I want to go see something that that just came out this weekend. There's a couple of really cool, very coasty kind of movies in the theaters. Wildcard Line, Mike is in Colorado on Coast to Coast. Mike?
Good evening, Ian. Thank you so much for taking my call. First, a comment, and then I'll get to my question. As you know, as the Coast audience knows, I'm a millennial, and I really encourage any millennials out there, because I know a lot listen, to call in and be a part of the conversation, because the topics that not only you but George discuss are so important to our age group.
Good.
And let me get to my let me get to my question. So my question is regarding kind of the state of AM radio right now. So
sure.
One of my favorite examples with AM radio is Radio Disney. So Radio Disney, when it first started out in 1999, was extremely successful. It was on in over 50 markets in this country on AM radio.
Right.
And in 2015, they decided to sell off those AM stations for whatever reason. Now, I know it takes a lot of money to operate these stations, but do you think that AM radio is going more in the direction of streaming? And in 20 years, do you think it might be kind of gone?
It's an iceberg floating to the equator as we speak. The AM band has already been eliminated throughout Europe. The AM band is under threat here in the United States. I hope they don't move on it fast. And, of course, there have been many predictions like this which have been proven to be premature. But I would say somewhere in the area of 5 to 10. But the pressure isn't coming from something like, you know, Disney, which is it's nearly impossible to get anybody under the age of 60 to even go to the AM band. And I wrote an entire academic paper on this. Even with the attempts by the FCC to revitalize AM, it's been kind of a fail. But there are other places, airports, first responders, emergency services of various type that want that bandwidth, and they're going to get it at some point. Just trying to hold it off for a while. Not trying to scare people, but it could happen. Open lines coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, let's just run down the line. We'll go to west of the Rockies. Bill is in California on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Hey, this is Ian.
Hey, go ahead.
I hope you like my customized German pun.
I couldn't quite hear it, so I'm afraid I missed it at the beginning. Try it again.
Oh, wie geht es Ian?
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. I think I got it. Thanks for hanging on. Where do you want to take us?
Well, I just wanted, since you've been a disc jockey and you're kind of a music guy, what were some of your thoughts on the passing of Ginger Baker?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see that doc on Ginger Baker on Netflix or Hulu?
Sure did.
Isn't
sure
that great?
Yeah.
I thought that was really one of the more interesting rock docs I've ever seen was about him, because I didn't realize how much of his life had been spent doing jazz before the rock thing and how much that had influenced his cadence choices and stuff. Yeah, he's one of those crazy guys, like one of those total crazy men who they're just geniuses at whatever their chosen instrument was. But like, can you imagine trying to be in relationship in any way with Ginger Baker? I mean,
the amazing thing to a lot of people, I think, is that I remember back in 1970 when I was just getting interested in rock, everybody was amazed that he made it to 1970, much less 2019.
Right. Right. If you don't know what we're talking about the famous drummer Ginger Baker, who died not too long ago. And it's weird because that was kind of the cool thing about Cream, was it was like the best drummer, the best bass player and vocalist, and Eric Clapton, who didn't always do the vocals for Cream, who was also a great vocalist, but was just such a great guitar player. And they all had their substance abuse issues, and they all had other stuff. But somehow those three, that power trio, you know, it's an amazing thing when three people can sound like eight, and that's what Cream did, at least live, anyway, they were able to pull that off. It's easier in a studio, but that was still pretty cool.
Well, last time we spoke, I had mentioned that the Doors played my old high school back in 1967, and because I've been interested in rock, you know, since about that time, and I first heard Pressed Rat and Warthog from a friend's album back in around 1969. About a year after it came out, and the lyrics imprinted on my brain, and I just never, you know, the Pressed Rat and Warthog have closed down their shop, wasn't very much, but was all they had got, selling atonal apples and amplified heat and Pressed Rat's collection of dog legs and feet.
Oh, it's great. Somewhere there's a T-shirt. You gotta keep looking around until you find one.
Right.
I love that era.
I thought that might be a good epitaph. For Ginger Baker, there's something just beautiful about those lyrics.
Yeah, and there's something beautiful about that period in rock history too, where an album mattered, where from, you know, track one to track nine or however, you know, is split up, it really mattered, and the order mattered, and you could debate a side one versus side two, and the whole rhythm of it, and everything with the segmentation, there really just isn't that anymore. In fact, it's if you talk about that with a modern rock aficionado, somebody who's into alternative and listening to things on vinyl, that concept just doesn't really exist anymore, of the free flow of one track into another track.
Right, and the album art was just something else, you know, in itself. It was just amazing. And last thing, I listened, even though I'm a guitar player, I've listened to Ginger Baker's drum solos from start to finish, whether it's Toad, Do What You Like, all those things, live, especially the live versions, and I never got bored with them. I would just listen to them from start to finish, 20 minutes, and just enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, I feel that there was a brief period of time where the drum solo, the ubiquitous drum solo, was really fresh and interesting, and you know, Carl Palmer was doing that, and other people that could really pull it off. And then there's just so many wannabes out there that are like, what about my time? You know, it's like, you were not that good. You know, I've been to a few concerts where the drummer got his time, and it was like, I'll be right back. You know, there wasn't.
How about Stuart Copeland and the Pink Floyd drummer giving, you know, Baker credit for getting them into that? You know, he was the one who started this.
Yeah, and so this won't feel the same, and I even hate to mention in the same breath, but I've been very interested in the replacement drummers for AC/DC. Too, and there's because, you know, they've gone through a personnel change. Well, now there's not really a band anymore, but and a lot of those guys were contemporaries of Ginger Baker. They were, you know, they had some very old rock session people from England that were on those later AC/DC albums, because they so admired their chops, and it's hard to find people with chops like that anymore. But well, always a pleasure talking to you. Let me grab a couple of the people waiting, and we'll go wildcard line. Paul is in Watsonville, California. If you're still there, Paul.
Thank you, Ian. How are you doing, mate?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, there's two things that Americans are just really touchy about speaking. I'd like to address.
Only two? Okay, go ahead.
There's two. There's one that we actually cannot even discuss. We're so psychotic about it. But one of the things is the notion that the commie plot is defeating America as we speak.
The commie plot.
80% already like a snake wrapped around us, and we don't see it. And if it were true, we would be the last to know, believe me. And I'm here to say, I used to laugh at people who said commie plot. And I used to love the phrase, in God we trust. But now I'm convinced in God we trust is not cutting it. We are blindfolded by what's going on. And you had two shows this week. One was about the commie plot. Someone's Out to Get You was the name of the book. And the other book last night was about Rockefeller, Killing the Planet. And these two things are related, believe it or not, because we have been sold out. Ever since the 50s, we've been sold out to the Soviets. They have occupied our presidency several times, people. And there's a lot of things we don't know. For example, there is a nuclear sub off of the California coast with nuclear weapons live in their head, and that's been for the last 65 years, every one of our lives.
I don't know that I believe that. So I
admitted it. Jerry Brown, the guy.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying there aren't people who say it, and there's been plenty of other people that have. I mean, this was the whole John Birch Society thing that, you know, Dwight Eisenhower was a communist puppet, and I get lots of people have said it over the years. It's when it comes down to empirical proof as opposed to just a perception, because I don't even think there really is communism in Russia anymore. It's totalitarianism. It's not, there is no, you know, I believe in the U.S. exceptionalism that we did, and we had that, whereas they believed that you know, they could take over every country and whatever. I don't believe that they will eventually be able to take us over. I understand you may feel differently, but I don't think we're talking about communism anymore. Russia isn't communism. It's a totalitarian regime, period. So what's the commie part in commie plot?
Can I speak?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's look at the John Birch Society. Richard Nixon managed to kill the leader of the John Birch Society. How did he do it? He told this guy, let's go watch the Koreans from our spy plane, 007 airliner. Mm-hmm. Let's go watch and see what Korea's up to. So the guy gets on the plane thinking Nixon's going to join him to spy on the Koreans. And what happens? The MiGs shoot it down. But Nixon did not show because he knew that he was okay. The leader of the John Birch Society.
But that's not the question on the table. My question on the table to you is, there is no, Russia is not communist anymore. It's a totalitarian regime. It doesn't exist in the form, this nostalgic form of which you speak. I mean, it is Putin's government, and he runs it like a dictator. And it's a country run by very wealthy oligarchs. It's almost a feudal system. It's not communist anymore. So where's the commie and commie plot?
Well, like I said, I don't believe communism exists, but I do believe that this so-called quote-unquote commie plot exists. Now, what is the second subject we are death to discuss?
I don't know. We're running out of time with you, so go ahead. You got to get to it right away. Go ahead.
We cannot discuss what really happened when John Lennon got shot.
I can. Why can't I? I can. I do it all the time. Sure, I can. So if that's your premise that we can't talk about that, we can. And I have. And I will again. You just watch me. Wildcard line, Walter is in Washington State on Coast to Coast AM. Walter?
Hello, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. You're a theologian, so I wanted to run this by you a little bit.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if we went to church someday and the pastor or the priest said, okay, today we're going to see if we can get Jesus or Mary to appear to us or an angel and see if we can get somebody to appear to us here. And the reason I'm saying this is because, like, angels used to appear, supposedly, back in ancient times. And if we can get an angel that we could actually put on TV, a real full-blown angel, he could save the world. I mean, an angel's supposed to be very powerful. He'd look at a mountain and say, see that mountain? It's not going to be there when I wave my hand. Something like that, you know.
Well, so, remember in the Bible, when angels appeared, it was rarely a good thing.
Yeah, but if we used it for a good thing, I mean, obviously.
Well, wait. We didn't conjure angels. You couldn't, at no point, if we're using the Bible as a model, you can't say, angel, come here, and what we call God as valet theology, where we can just summon God and say, God, appear, right?
Well, it seems to me the reason God doesn't appear anymore, angel or Mary or Jesus, because we don't want him to. It's like take what happened at Fatima. If all the people of the earth after Fatima happened would have said, whoa, this didn't really happen. Don't overlook this. Let's take this back again and say, hey, Mary, can you come back? If they always said Russia needed, Mary wanted Russia to be consecrated to her. If Russia would have said at that particular time, well, okay, Mary, please appear. That would have been obvious enough for consecration, I would say. And right. So it seems like we don't, but I know the rules of the Catholic religion are we're not supposed to ask an angel or Jesus or Mary. That's not our business. They appear when they want to.
Well, but I mean, it's not a matter of rules. I mean, let's look at it logically, okay? If we could tell God to appear and God came at our beck and call, then we're God.
Yeah, but that's not telling him to appear. That's saying, look, God, finally we're not afraid of you anymore. Please appear. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I'm saying is if we could summon God, if we could summon an angel, then we're at the top.
So you're not saying it's a matter of surrender. Like, that's what I'm saying. When the earth can sit down and say,
it's okay. All about surrender. It's all about all of us surrendering.
Okay.
Right?
Well, anyway, I'm going to start a church. It's going to be the Church of the Appearance of Holy Spirit.
I appreciate that. And I hope that works. I mean, prove me wrong, dude. I promise you. And make sure you got a video camera and get time on a local cable channel or something. I would love to see you do that. I just don't think that's, you know, part of what I do in my prayerful life every day is I try to get my will out of the equation.
No, but
that's the hardest part of prayer. Yeah. That's the hardest part of prayer.
All I'm saying is it's surrender. And I'm saying, okay, God, finally, I'm not afraid of you anymore. If you want to appear, but we would love you to. We're not saying you have to. We're not telling you what to do.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I believe that invitation has been there because we say it all the time in church. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And we're often asked, you know, for God's presence. So I think that if God's been waiting for an invitation, I think it arrived a little while ago, but I that doesn't take away from the fact that I support you and wanting to see your idea work. So keep me up to date. Wildcard line, Wayne's in Oregon on Coast to Coast AM as we get up to the top of the hour. Wayne?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Creswell, Oregon. It's about 15 miles from Eugene. And I just finally got a phone number written down tonight. I have a couple quick things, but I did want to say now that I've got your phone number, I can call in because there's been so many Bigfoot sightings and UFOs and stuff since the early 60s. I've seen stuff myself.
Cool.
But the reason I called, there's two reasons. My kidneys are shutting down. I've had diabetes for 54 years.
Sorry.
I know George gets people to pray for people, and I could really use prayer for that.
Happy
and
to do that.
My real question that I needed to ask, what happened to Linda Moulton Howe?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that anything happened to her, but I know that she used to make more regular appearances, and I don't know if her appearances have become less regular. Have you heard something happen?
Somebody else now that's doing it for you guys.
Well, that could be just, you know, like franchising, you know. It's just when you get to a certain stage in life and maybe you don't want to make all the appearances or you don't want to stay up as late, and so you work with somebody younger. I don't know. I'll look into that one. Somebody else mentioned that to me on Twitter, and
I didn't
have an answer.
I didn't know because I'd never heard any more about it, you know. So
I don't think it was anything formal or anything. So, you know, she's a trooper. She's a fun one. So I hope she's good. Let me go to the international line where Mike is in Vancouver. He's a tasty Canadian on Coast to Coast. Mike?
No, I'm not Canadian, but I am a truck driver driving up here.
I see.
Ian, first-time caller, long-time listener. But just to get to the point real quick, I just wanted to mention that with your interview with, I think it was Jeff Harrell, correct?
Yep.
He sounds just like Uncle Joe on Petticoat Junction. I don't know if you remember that show. But
I do.
Every time he was talking, I was imagining Uncle Joe telling them the story.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, he was. I did like his style. Somebody else made a connection, though. It wasn't to Uncle Joe. Let me look and see if I can find. Somebody else said that he sounded like somebody. Oh, he sounded like. I'm scrolling down. It was somebody that tweeted it. Go ahead. Now, was there something else you wanted to mention?
There's one other thing real quick. I submitted a photograph that I took back when I was 14 years old. I'm 62 now, so
right.
The photograph is quite old. I submitted it to your Lex Lone Hood, I think
right.
It was, and
he
posted it. But no one, I asked for someone to look at it, let me know what they thought. So what it was we used to play with a Ouija board back at that age of 14, and then I took a photography class in high school. So I took a picture, a lot of pictures during this time, and one of the pictures, when I developed it, my friend was actually seeing.
All right, you're going to have to, we're right up to the top of the hour, so you're going to have to hang on. I'll get the rest of the story, though. If you'll hang on, Mike, I'll hang on for you. We'll get to it next as we continue open lines on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.